recap of your spouse, hopefully you go back and build them according to their position and not your picture, and see what will happen over the next 7 days. I want us to hit another topic, and then we'll take a little time, hopefully, to work this through. This is no small topic. I spent at the church 7 weeks on a systematic theological study of communication. We spent 7 weeks going through the scriptures, exploring various passages to understand communication. And again, if you're ever interested in that, on our website, mycounselingcorner.com, you can look that up and go back through, I think it was about 4 years ago, just go through the sermon section, and you can find the sermon on communication. It was 7 weeks, and those 7 weeks were some of the toughest. And so I'm not going to be able to cover what I want to cover with you in the time, but I do want to give you a broad stroke to think about with communication, because this is a serious area. And part of the whole P's that we talked about, and the picture, the preference, it comes out in how you talk to people. And people will pick up on things that you will be amazed with. You know how when you think people are not that smart, and then you make a statement like, wow, that was really good what you did. I am really shocked. You've said a lot, even though you didn't say anything. But what you said is, I have such a low picture of you that I'm surprised that you went beyond my expectations, because I didn't really think you were that smart. And a lot of times people say things and don't realize what they're saying, because they're not really getting the picture of their heart is on display in their communication. In the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If I could say it this way, we don't have communication problems, we have interpretation problems. Okay? We don't have communication problems, we have interpretation problems. And our interpretations are based upon the heart issues that we have. So even with communication, you heard me just fine. But your interpretation of what I said, based upon where your heart is where there is a problem with what's happening in the dialogue. And I try to help couples see this. She heard you, bro. But now, let's interpret what she heard. Oh, my sister, he heard exactly what you said, but now let's put through the grid of his mind what he communicated or understood that to mean and where his heart was, and now you get our problem is, this isn't a communication problem, this is an interpretation problem. And as a result, we're missing God's goal for communication. So, with that in mind, I want to give you just a broad picture of this to think about in your marriages and to begin to communicate about. How's that for a pun? And that pun was intended, okay? Let's look at the definition of communication. If you'd walk with your notes and look up before me. Now think about this. The transferring and receiving of information so that one may understand and respond in the proper way to the information. Think about it. Let me read that again. Communication. The transferring and receiving of information so that one may understand and respond in the proper way. Communication was meant to bring connection, not to bring division. Think about the word communication. What other words come out of communication? Community. You know, common. All these words that spring out of communication is about bringing things together. What do you think God intended for communication? To bring what? Things together to function according to what God intended. What does the devil want to do with communication? Division. Tearing down. Bringing apart. So, given that, letter A, communication was created so that we may understand and respond properly to the person of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, right? And the Word was with God, and the Word became what? Not the flesh became Word. Word became flesh. Now that's important for you and I, because what that says to us is that God could have just spoke from heaven to say what he wanted to say. Because his word is powerful wherever he is. He chose to put on flesh and come communicate and connect with us. Communication was never meant just to be transferring of information. It was meant for me to give all of myself to you and to connect with you through the communication and vice versa. It's a personal, intimate thing that was never meant to be callous and just about facts. So think about this. Letter B, communication was created so that we may understand and respond properly to the creation of God. God made things. God allowed Adam to name things. And can I say this to you? There is power in what you name things, and it's dangerous, and it's delightful at the same time. Let me give you an example. When God gave Adam the ability to name the animals, whatever he named it, that's what it was. Okay? Problem is, if I label something different than what God labels it, then I will treat it differently the way God intended for me to treat it. So labels matter, but labels matter according to the authority of God, not my authority. So in other words, I need to see things the way God sees them and treat them the way God treats them, or I miss it. Here's another point for biblical counselors as they wrestle with a biblical apologetic for counseling. The culture takes a medical model and it tries to extrapolate that medical model to do things that God never intended to happen. For instance, when I start to call sin sickness, I treat it as a disease which has to be managed versus as something that I can be delivered from and changed. That's when the model goes too far. Does that make sense? So for instance, the word recovery is a wonderful word, but it's a dangerous word. Let me give you an example. Now, I had knee surgery about a year and a half ago, and I still feel it. I want 100% recovery. I want it to be restored back to the design it originally was in, okay? Now, when it comes to sinners and there's recovery, I'm taking you back to the position you were in before you were in that addiction or in that position. What happens if I recover you back? You're gonna do what? See, God is not interested in recovery, he's interested in transformation. See, sometimes words can get us in trouble if we don't use them the way God intended. And so from a biblical counseling perspective, we get very particular about words because labels mean things. For instance, I can call you a problem person or a person with a problem. Now, if you are a problem person, how am I going to treat you? As a problem. If you are a person with a problem, how will I treat you? As someone to help. But my labels determine my actions. And if I'm not thinking in biblical terms about you, then I will treat you according to whatever I call you. So this is important because that comes down to communication. And that comes down to, do I understand the words I'm using? And have I evaluated those words through the grid of scripture? If I'm not evaluating those words through the grid of scripture, I could be saying things about you that didn't match what is true from scripture and treating you according to my ideals, not according to what God says. That's a communication problem. But it's really not a communication problem, is it? It's a what? Interpretation problem. So given that, letter C, communication was created so that man would understand and respond properly to the commands of God. And we see in Psalm 119 all about the power of the word of God. Thy word have I hid in the heart that I might not sin against thee. It was good I was afflicted that I may learn thy statutes. All the different passages were given so that we understand how to respond properly. And then letter D, communication was created so that we may understand and respond properly to one another. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your what? But only such a word that is good for edification according to the need of the moment that it may give grace to those who what? It's not about you. It's about the other person. Communication had an order and a design that God intended, but when we don't take it back to that, We do what we want instead of what God wills, and it gets us in trouble. Point number two, effective communication is tied to understanding the commonness of communication. So let's look at this again. Letter A, communication comes from the root word communis, the common and public connection shared by people. Letter B, communication was not intended to be reduced to just transmitting of facts. Letter C, communication was meant to be an involvement of people on a common and public level in the sharing of information to the building of the commonness of understanding. My words were meant to bring things together to function according to God's order, not to tear things down to function according to Satan's agenda. My words were never meant to be a dividing factor, but one that brings a common understanding so that we function in oneness according to the whole concept of John 17. Lord, make them one as we are one. And when my words are divisive, I'm operating by a principle that is ungodly. Can we read letter D together on a count of three? One, two, three. Tools transmit facts, people get involved. Your words were meant to be an avenue to connect the people, not just to transfer facts. Communication is bigger than words. And what we are calling communication problems are truly interpretation problems, which takes it back to heart issues. Now, pulling all that together, let's look at point number three. Effective communication is tied to understanding the control of communication. Luke chapter 6, verse 44 to verse 45 gives us this picture. It says that in the abundance of the heart, the what? Mouth speaks. Now, let's let that sink in. In the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You may not have meant to say it, but you've been thinking it. That's why it came out. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. Well, that's not acceptable to me, because now I know what you've been thinking. You may not have meant to say it, but that's a heart issue. I take it back. You can't take it back. I mean, you can ask for forgiveness, but it's out there now. So you can't take it back. You know, that always amazes me when the world comes up with these ideas that doesn't match reality. You know, and when we as Christians try to take on those things, we miss it. But I want you to understand how powerful words are. They reflect what's in our hearts. And notice the second part about this. Communication defines and interprets our perspective of life. I see how you think about things as I listen to how you articulate things. You're showing me your belief system. One of my assignments with my students in our intro to counseling course at the college, they have the first assignment. Your assignment this week is not to say anything about yourself unless someone asks you. Now, I want you to spend the next 7 days not interjecting yourself and not saying anything about yourself until someone asks. You know how hard that is? You know why that's so hard, guys? Who do we love to talk about? Ourselves. We're like that Garfield. Have you ever seen that Garfield cartoon? He says this in the cartoon. I'm tired of talking about me. Now you tell me what you think of me. Okay? That's kind of how we are. And I tell people, if you really want to love people, try listening. Just don't interject. Don't interrupt. Don't make it about you. Just spend 7 days. And when you mess up, keep trying it until you actually get to a place. I'll never forget, I was with some friends. They invited me to a party. And I was sitting in the corner. Normally, when I'm not teaching, I'm not up doing what I'm doing now. When I'm not teaching, I'm a very quiet person, which may sound weird, but I'm not antisocial. I get connected, but I'm not just up bouncing around. I'll sit in the corner somewhere, and as people come, we connect, but I'm not like, hey, you know, I'm just in the corner. That's kind of the guy I am. So I'm in this party, and this guy comes, and he sits down by me, and we don't start talking. I ask a couple of questions. This guy talked for 2 hours straight. And I said, listen, and here's what he said. This is what cracked me up. You know, this was the best conversation I've had in a long time. It was good talking to you. I was like, yeah. Does that make sense? We have to be careful, guys, Because we love to talk about what we want to talk about at the expense of the person. Try it for a week. Try it. Try it at home. Your spouse is going to say, honey, is there something wrong? No, nothing's wrong. But you're not saying, no, I'm listening to you. Okay, what's the deal here? No, really, I'm listening. No, okay. What did I do? No, seriously. Does that make sense, guys? Just try it. Here's the third thing I want you to see. Communication exposes the system of life by which we operate. 1 John chapter 4 says, those who speak of the world listens to them. But we who speak of God, those who listen to us are those who are of God, but those of the world will not listen to us. So if you think about the interest and the insights and those who are operating by the will of God, their words and their communication will all be about a biblical worldview. But those who are not of God, their words will be of a unbiblical worldview. And the more we talk, the less they want to listen to us. But those who have a biblical worldview and their system of life is operating by that, they listen. But here's a fourth thing I want you to see. Communication directs and shapes our relationship with others. If you think about the condition of your relationship in your marriage, a lot of that relationship is where it is because of how you are talking or not talking to each other. Now, just a show of hands, I want to see if I'm right in this group as I am with other groups as far as the idea. And hopefully you guys will keep my 100% streak going. But somebody's going to break the streak one year. I know it. But I want to see if this is still true here. Has there anyone in this room that has gotten married without using words? My streak is not broken yet. So no one in this room has gotten married without using words. Everyone in this room, there had to be a building block of conversation that led to a connection, that led to a relationship, that led to a marriage. And now when there are problems in the relationship, what are we going to discover? The same thing that brought you together is the same thing that's dividing you. How you are using the words which are demonstrating what's happening in your heart. Your relationships are built and broken through conversation. Does that make sense to everybody? Before we go any further, I can take about 2 or 3 minutes. Do just a quick review of these areas, and then we want to build on this with some practical things that I want you to think about. And some of this we can skip over and get down to some other areas since we've already covered a little bit of this before. But I'd like you to take a few moments and just talk with each other about what you've just heard and what do you think about this in terms of your marriage. Okay? Take about 3 or 4 minutes.